Christ is risen. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning to everyone and a very warm welcome to our service on this second Sunday of Easter. We want to say welcome to everyone who's joining us on the live stream, as well as everyone who is dialing in on the phone-in service today. And we are thinking in our service today of how the presence of the risen Lord brings hope and healing into situations of brokenness. And in the wake of the sad news of the death of the Duke of Edinburgh on Friday, we will be remembering in our service today the Queen and the royal family in their time of grief and loss. The Queen and Duke shared a deep Christian faith, and we will be proclaiming the hope that they held in our hymns and in our reflections today in this season of Easter. Just have a few notices for the week that is to come. Next Sunday, our services at 11 and 7 will be the services of morning and evening prayer. And also to say that our Easter vestry, which was postponed in March, that's the annual business meeting of the church, it will now take place on Tuesday week, the 20th of April, at 7:30 here in church. We've also got news that we're hoping that from next week on, we will be allowed to have a socially distanced choir to lead our singing again, which we look forward to. Over the last period of time, we've been dependent on recordings, so it's lovely to have the prospect of some singing again from our socially distanced choir. This coming Wednesday is the 14th of April, and we're looking forward very much to beginning our new online Alpha course. And we would be delighted to welcome anybody who would like to join us over the next 11 weeks as we explore the meaning of life, the purpose of life, and take a look at the Christian faith. And if you'd be interested in taking part, there will be details on the screen and also on our parish website and Facebook page. But maybe you haven't heard very much about the Alpha course before, and we're going to invite people just to take a look at the promotional video.
Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions, like why am I here? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this?
I had arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with. Is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist.
At 28, I had gotten many of the things that I thought I wanted. You know, my girlfriend was on the cover of magazines, I had a Beamer, and I was so unhappy. It was a realization maybe that I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strived to be strong in myself. All I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are.
And I found purpose, I found meaning, I found hope. God took something so broken and made it a beautiful art piece.
Alpha is a place where you can be yourself. You can say what you think and challenge everything. Like, no question is too complex or too simple. And what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
We are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith, and meaning.
Our opening hymn today is a hymn that celebrates the resurrection of Jesus and all that it means for us in our lives. Mark will play the tune. The words will appear on the screen as we hear the hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit, we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today's service is Psalm 133, and it's a psalm that speaks about the blessings of peace and unity, and its words are important and appropriate in the week that we have just been through. And so we're going to share the words of this psalm together as we say Psalm 133. Behold, Behold how good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard, even on Aaron's beard, running down upon the collar of his clothing. It's like the dew of Hermon, running down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has promised his blessing, even life forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 26, beginning to read at verse 1. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down, the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. O upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Here ends our Old Testament reading. And we're going to respond to that reading as we reflect on the words of our next hymn, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing. Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John in the 20th chapter, beginning to read at the 19th verse. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, He showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Here ends our New Testament reading. As we continue to make our way through this season of Easter, and we think of the hope and the new life that Jesus brings to those who believe in him, we're going to see a little video now of a lady who was honored by our diocese in the year before she died, back in 2016. But just a year before she died, she made this little video in which she spoke about how her faith had brought hope and purpose and meaning to her life. And she dedicated her life to living as a surgeon in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Her name is Helen Rosevere, and she's written many books, and I had the privilege of hearing her speak on a number of occasions. But here we're going to hear Helen speak of the power of the resurrection in her life.
Well, my first year at university, I had Christian friends who tried to get hold of me. They knew I wasn't a Christian, and they invited me to go to meetings and go to their Bible studies and things. And they then organized for me to go for a camp at Christmas. And I heard the gospel. I heard the truth that God so loved me as an individual. He knew me by name. So loved me that he sent his son Jesus to die for me, for my sins, that I could have. I was so captivated by the wonder of this story. And I can only say that really, that night when I first heard the gospel, I fell in love with Jesus. And that has been my motivation ever since. That has never changed for me. It's always the wonder of the fact he so loves us. He came down from heaven to our mucky old earth and live amongst us mucky old people in order to save us. And I know from the very first night that I was saved, I had this overwhelming desire. I wanted to serve him. I would do anything he asked. I'd go anywhere he sent me. I wanted to let him know I loved him because he so loved me. And that has honestly never changed. It's come in different circumstances, come through different ways, but always the root motivation in me that brought me into WEC and kept me there and took me out to Congo and kept me there. It's always been this tremendous love of God for us individuals, that we might so love others with his love that they too would come to know forgiveness of sins. All of us have the privilege of being called to be his servants. That's just so wonderful. Where Jesus said he himself did not come to be served, but to serve and to give. And if we had this in the back of our hearts all the time, we've not been called to some big outward thing or thing that we've written about or publicized, but that we're called to serve him. And we serve him because we love him. Then whatever we're doing for Jesus and doing for him to be uplifted. I think that would be my major thing I'd like to leave with young people today, to think in those terms of putting Jesus first. And when there's a problem, and when you really feel you really reach the end of your tether, he's there. He knows, he's been through it all, and he's there to encourage you and strengthen you and help you and prompt you all the way, that even if you can't see any point in what you're doing, and if it doesn't seem, sometimes it does seem pretty pointless, but nevertheless, it's for him, and he knows what he's doing and why, and it just does all fit in. It's amazing. Yes, I would like to leave with all of you. When I first came to know that Jesus loved me, that first night at camp, and I was given a Bible, which I'd never had before, and the leader of the meeting wrote in my Bible, Philippians 3, verse 10. And he wrote the reference in, and then he said the words to me. He said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. And he said to me, he said, tonight you've come to the beginning of that verse, I want to know Christ. He says, my prayer for you in the years that lie ahead is that you come to know more and more the power of his resurrection. And then very quietly, looking straight at me, he said, maybe one day God will give you the privilege of sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings. I'd been a Christian about an hour, and here I've been told there was a privilege to suffer. And yet as I look back, I can say, thank you, God, that you gave me that the first night that I was saved, that it is a privilege to share in the sufferings of Christ, however they come, whatever level they are, and that he's just so good. And that word privilege became very precious to me ever since, that it's privilege. And when you're having a tough struggle, when things aren't going according to plan, when, as a surgeon, you say, in the middle of an operation, and you just don't know what to do next, and nobody to help you, at those moments, whatever it is, it'll be different for each one of us, but in that minute, it's a privilege. It's a privilege you're sharing with him in some part of the suffering, and as you say privilege in your mind, the burden lifts. And you suddenly realize, how wonderful that God is willing to choose me to give me the privilege of serving him. And I just share that right now, as I'm conscious that I am old. And people ask me in church, how are you? And I just tend to say, well, I'm old. And as you get older and the memories go, and you become forgetful, and you can't think of words, you can't recognize people or names, but it's all privilege. And just each time get back onto it, it's God's privilege. And I mean, there's no question, but in these last few months, I have had a growing urge, a longing for him to call me, that I can go home. But he hasn't chosen to. I'm still here. And well, he's got a job. People say to me, well, he's got a job for you, that's why you're here. He hasn't finished with you yet. I know, but I don't find it easy to rejoice in that, but it's privilege. It's privilege to be still here, and he is choosing the when. And I just leave that with older friends. Keep on trusting right to the end.
So as we hear Helen share her faith, her belief in the God who loves us, we're going to do the same as we stand together to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, the second Sunday of Easter. Almighty Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth, through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So as we hear in our gospel reading today of Jesus standing among his disciples in his risen life, that's the theme of the next hymn we're going to hear, Jesus Stand Among Us.
Jesus.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It has been a poignant couple of days in the life of our nation since the news broke on Friday of the death of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. And many commentators over the past couple of days have rightly spoken of his exemplary commitment to duty and service and public life. He's been such an incredible support to the Queen over 73 years of marriage. Her strength and stay, as she described him on the occasion of their golden wedding anniversary in 2007. And we will be remembering the Queen and the royal family in our prayers this morning. But another thing that I was struck by in recent days were several interviews that I saw with young people who spoke of the impact of the Duke of Edinburgh's scheme in building their confidence and resilience in life. Another powerful contribution from the Duke to the life of young people in this land and throughout the Commonwealth. I had a powerful conversation myself some time ago with a young person who spoke with me about the impact that her parents had had on her life. And knowing that they trusted her and believed her had given her the confidence to do things that she would not have felt capable of doing in her own strength. And she also spoke with me, this girl, about how those difficult experiences in our lives often make us rely more on God, because we know that we don't have it within ourselves to get through without his help. And it is a real gift, isn't it, to discover that there are people who believe in us, even when we're not so sure about ourselves. And what a blessing it is to discover this from our parents, as this girl did, who I was speaking with. Or maybe sometimes there's a teacher, or a grandparent, or a sports coach, or an organization leader who instills these things into us. And perhaps the greatest barrier for many of us in believing these things about ourselves is fear. We fear that we might fail. We fear that we will not be up to the task set before us. And we're afraid sometimes, too, of success. We're afraid of success because then we might be asked to do something more. And we'll eventually reach that point where our abilities are found wanting. And maybe at some point we made a mess of something that we were asked to do. We didn't prepare as carefully as we might have. Or maybe we were overconfident and the whole thing went wrong. And then we were left with our confidence shaken. And we retreated to a place where we decided that we would never venture out in that way ever again. And in some sense, that's where we meet Jesus' disciples this morning in our gospel reading, in a place of despair and hopelessness. And having seen what had happened to Jesus, they met together in secret behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. It's lockdown in first century Palestine. And the enemy is not a deadly virus as we've been battling in our own time of lockdown, but it is that paralysis of total fear. And what a debilitating condition that is. Who knows what would have happened to these disciples if they were seen in public? Perhaps they might end up just as Jesus had, strung up on a cross. And so they retreated. They retreated behind locked doors, closed off from the world, licking their wounds and their disappointment. And it must have been pretty awful to have to meet in this way, fearing the footsteps on the stairs, the next knock on the door, sitting there together, reflecting on their own failures of the past week, thinking perhaps of the way that they had all deserted Jesus in the garden and fled for their lives. And then suddenly, he's there. He's there with them, and he looks at each one of them in turn, staring them in the eye, and he says, "Peace be with you." It's a greeting of love, even though they had already failed him. And then he shows them his hands and his side so they can be in no doubt as to who he really is. And it's incredibly moving, isn't it, that his scars can actually be their healing and their salvation as he gives them all a task. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And he breathes on them, empowering them with this new life of God's Holy Spirit, and he tells them of the task ahead. And it's a task that has all to do with forgiveness and going out to the world to speak of his forgiveness and his love, just as we heard Helen did throughout her life in the Congo after first hearing that message of his love for her. And I'm sitting there and I'm reading this conversation between Jesus and his disciples, and I'm wondering to myself, how could he trust them? How could he trust them after they had failed him so terribly? How could he speak to them with love and communicate this message? I believe in you. I love you. And I trust you. And I'm sending you out because I need you to help me. I need you to help me with this really, really important work. And I think it's here in this conversation that we see something miraculous happening. And thank God it is a miracle that has been repeated many, many millions of times over the centuries. It's that miracle that happens when a person is transformed through discovering that they are unique and precious and valuable to God. And he needs them to help to bring his kingdom rule here on the earth. It's that same message that captivated my own heart many, many years ago when I first sensed that call to get involved in this work of sharing that message of God's love and forgiveness and hope, of his capacity to transform other people's lives as well as my own. And what's powerful is that so often it is in the points of our weaknesses and scars that God works most powerfully through us. Through those wounds and difficult experiences, through those places of brokenness within us, God often connects us to other people and says, "I love you as you are in your brokenness. Now go out there and bring my love to others." And we often protest and we say, "Sure, nobody would listen to me. No one will understand. I can't speak in public. I'm too shy. I could never let people know of my weaknesses. And if people really knew how I thought, or if they knew some of the things that I had done, they'd never want to know me. Thomas, Jesus' disciple, he missed out the first time around by taking himself away. Plunged into grief and despair, if you remember, he took himself away from all his colleagues and he tried to work through the whole situation of Jesus' crucifixion on his own. And even when they told him of Jesus being alive, he refused to believe it until a week later Jesus himself graciously appeared to him and invited him to go right ahead. Put your finger in the scars. Put your hand into my side. And in the gospel account, we don't hear whether Thomas actually did that or he didn't do it. But what we do know is that he believed. And when he believed, all his doubts crumbled. And they were replaced by a faith that sent him out, just like the others, to convince the world that Jesus is alive and that he wants to be with us and that it's possible for everyone, even doubters like him, to believe and to find new life in his name. So while the world urges you to prove your worth, to prove your power and your strength, Jesus calls you and I instead to be a presence wherever he has placed us. To be a presence that's not ashamed of our wounds and our weaknesses. To be a presence that speaks courageously of his forgiveness and his love. And to be a presence that proclaims that he believes in those who do not believe in themselves. So may we be empowered by his Holy Spirit for this wonderful task in the situations in which we find ourselves in our daily life and work and wherever we happen to be and whoever we happen to encounter. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray today for the courage to be witnesses to your love and grace and presence in our lives. And we thank you today for the way that you believe in us, even when we don't believe in ourselves. Thank you for the way that you teach us through our wounds and scars and difficult experiences, and how you can transform those times into hope and learning and growth. We thank you today for all the different people who've come alongside us in our struggles and offered us love and prayers, encouragement and support. And help us, we pray, to bring those things into the situations that we find ourselves in day by day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. We also want to give thanks in our prayers today for the life of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. God of our lives, we give thanks today for the life of Prince Philip. We thank you for the love that he shared among us, for his devotion to duty, And we give thanks today too for his contribution to the Duke of Edinburgh Award. We remember his vision and imagination, his interest in young people, and his support for them. We pray that you would inspire us with the same commitment to serve. And we pray for support for friends and neighbors and strangers alike. And we ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful God, we ask you to be close to all who mourn. And today we pray especially for Her Majesty the Queen and all members of the royal family. We pray that they may know the hope of your promises and the comfort of your love in their great loss. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We also want to pray today for peace on our streets after a week of violence. We pray for those who feel disenfranchised and unheard in their anger. And we pray too for the police and all who try to uphold law and order in this difficult situation. We pray too for our politicians, and we ask that they would take a strong stand for leadership in the midst of volatile and dangerous times. Help them to be careful in their choice of language and words, and to work together for peace and the restoration of reconciliation in our land. But we also want to take a quiet moment in our prayers today to pray for all whom we know who are going through difficult times, maybe at home or in hospital, and who are in need of your help and grace today. So in the quietness, we bring those who are particularly in our hearts and on our minds into your healing presence now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And now we take the opportunity to reflect again on that great hope that is at the heart of this season. Christ is alive, let Christians sing.
Oh,
We bow our heads for God's blessing. May God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of his risen life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much to everybody who has shared with us in our service today, both here in the building and online. And we look forward to being able to worship together again next Sunday. After our closing hymn, we'll hear a short piece of music before the stewards will escort you from your seat. And we do remind people, please, just not to congregate at the entrance to the church, but to make your way out to enjoy some conversation at a social distance. Our closing hymn, O God, our help in ages past.